We had started last week on the choosing of a king, and how that God had instructed Samuel to go ahead and appoint a king, even though it was not the perfect will of God. But they had, as a people, decided that they wanted a king. We found then that God worked it all out to where Saul was sent by his father out to find some donkeys that had been missing. And so he was sent out to do that. He traveled quite a distance. We find out in Samuel, I think it's the 10th chapter, find out he had been gone for 3 days. And so he came to the place where it was near where the hometown of Samuel was. And the suggestion come from his servant that they would go in there to see Samuel. He's called he's a prophet. Sometimes a prophet in the Bible is called a seer, and that's what he's referred to here. And he went in to see Samuel, find him. We talked about the fact that he did not know him. It was his servant that knew him. I think it was an important point, even to the place where when they met, I think it's in the 9th chapter, let's see, in 18th verse, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thy heart." And so we found out here he had to be introduced to Samuel. He did not know him. Probably lived somewhere in the area of 20 miles from him and did not know him, the man of God. It's an important point. Even though, because Samuel was well known, even from his youth, we followed him from his youth, and he was one whom God had appointed, and here Saul did not know him. Now, I think the way, and we discussed this some, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I believe that is what's happening even here in America. Most folk do not know Jesus Christ, who he truly is. Most folk are, a lot of folk are not interested in spiritual things. They're more spiritual, they're more interested in what this world has to offer. I think we've got to be very careful. I was reminded of this as I was studying for this. We got to be so careful in our own lives today. There's a great danger, I believe, in falling in love with the things that God gives us or the gifts that God gives us more than God himself. And if we don't be careful, that's very, very easy to do, because we need to love God for who he is. And certainly he gives us wonderful things and does wonderful things for us. But if we don't be careful, we'll be more in love with the things that God does for us and gives us than we will God himself. But we're living in a time when there's very much little knowledge in many of the common folk and the folk that you meet day to day about God. I was on visitation. I wasn't this week. It was a week before. I was doing some visiting out in the country. And I had stopped and knocked on this door, and anyway, there was a man in there, and his wife was gone somewhere. But I knocked on the door, and he said, "Come in." And here we've got this Gallagher running around the area, and it was out in that area, out around us, you know. And he got this fellow, you know, that they're looking for. And I knocked on the door, and he said, "Come on in." I kind of opened the door a little bit, and I said, "Well, you don't know me. Are you sure you want me to come in?" And he said, "Well, I think so." He wasn't real sure. But anyway, I did go in. He was just lounging in a chair. He'd been watching some TV, it looked like, and got to talking to him, you know, and talking to him about the Lord and his interest in the Lord and if he knew the Lord. "No," he said, and he said, truthfully, he said, "I don't go to church." He said, "I've never felt a need to go to church." But he said something that really, not startled me, but is a truth. He said, "My daddy never did go." He said, "Our family, none of us ever went." And he said, "You know, we just don't feel a need to go." And I thought of that, you know, that is true. what is passed down to us is much what we're going to, you know, follow. And I know we can do different. We know that. We can do different. We can take the state. And in fact, I even talked to him about that. I said, you know, you need to break that in your family. You need to decide that you're going to look to the things of God. And I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and he told me, he said, well, truthfully, he said, I'm just not interested. I mean, he was being honest. He said, I'm just not interested. He said, I've never had any, felt any need for church or things like that. And he said, I'm really not interested. And so I gave him a tract and asked him if he'd read it. And he said, well, yeah, thank you. And I don't know if he did. Probably some doubt he may not have even read it. Who knows? We don't know what God will do. But there's a lot of non-interest in the things of the Lord, and we're more caught up in the things of this world. I'm not saying that critical. I'm saying most people's minds and hearts are caught up with the things of this world, and how they make their living, what they do, what they can get, and when they can go fishing, when they can do this, when they can go there, here and there. And I mean, that becomes the way of life. Well, evidently somewhere in Saul's life, to some degree, it was that way with him. Because he basically had no spiritual life. He knew a little bit about things, but he didn't even know Samuel, the great prophet of God. Didn't even know him. Had to be introduced to him. Met him face to face and did not know him. So it's really, it's a time, I think, that we're living in that's such a discouraging time. Folk are just so caught up in everything and just do not have time for God Almighty. And I know that that has been true down through the years. I know that, but it seems to me it's getting worse, okay? It seems to me it's just getting worse and worse all the time. So in verse number 19 of chapter 9, Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thy heart. Now you notice here, as he met him, he began to tell him what to do. He said, you're going to go up and eat with me today. In verse 20, he said, for as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? In that one verse of scripture, Samuel told him some tremendous things and gained his confidence, because he said to him, before he had told him of what he even come to him for, he said, those asses have been found. He didn't even, he hadn't even asked about him. He said, just set your mind not on them. And I think, again, that is an important statement, as we'll make here in a moment. He was wanting him to get his mind off of those things and on something else that he was going to tell him. So at the end of verse 20, he says, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? What he was saying is Israel is desiring a king. On whom is this desire? And then he said, is it not on thee and on thy father's house? And let me say to you, Saul knew exactly what he was saying. The way he responded in the next verse, he knew exactly what he was saying. In other words, you're going to be king. The desire of Israel is to have a king. And you are going to be that king. Now, I'm going to kind of go back to his handling of Saul. When he said to him, he said, now them donkeys has been found. They've been found. You don't have to worry about them anymore. I think to some degree that points out something for us. There's distractions in our life that needs to be eliminated when we're going to listen to some things about God. That's one of the reasons we have a nursery in this church. We eliminate distractions the best we can. And a nursery is a wonderful thing. I believe it's an important thing for our younger children. Younger children are not going to act like adults. These little babies cannot act like adults, bless their hearts. They don't know how to act like adults, and they shouldn't. So we eliminate some of the activity that a young child would bring into a congregation. I think that's good. Distractions. Any kind of distraction that can be eliminated in a service, I think, is right and proper. I think that's good. Now, I'm not talking about trying to be ritualistic. I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to be, you know, we so pomp and all of that. I'm not really talking about that, but I'm talking about unnecessary distractions should be eliminated. And I think that's one of the things that Samuel was doing here with Saul. He was eliminating some things that he's worried in his mind. He was concerned with those donkeys. That's what he was concerned about. He eliminated immediately and said, don't have to worry about it. They've been found. You're okay. Now I've got some things to tell you. And he had some a message to give him. And, of course, that's why God sent him there. And then, of course, as we said there, the desire of Israel was to have a king. And he said, you're it. And your family is it. In other words, it always involves families, always involves those that possibly can pass down that which has been given to them. And so he was telling him that. And again, let me make a statement. I think I made it a lot of times with other studies and things. But Saul was busy doing his appointed task when God reached down and got him. Boy, if I can ever, and we tell our young people this a lot, just be faithful. Be doing what you're supposed to do. Be a good son. Be a good daughter. And love God. Walk with God. Serve God. Just do the best you can. And God then takes them kind of people and reaches out and gets them. Saul was doing the duty that his father had given him when God called him. That is an important thing. Just be faithful. We tell our young people that. Be faithful. Love God. We've seen it amongst our young people where God just reached down and touched their lives and said, I want you for this. I want you for full-time service. But it was in the midst of them just being faithful, just living a faithful Christian life. Now, in verse 21, the way he responded to that was, he said, and Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore thou speakest thou so to me? Here he responded in a very humble way. It kind of reminded me of Gideon, the way Gideon responded. Gideon was surprised that God would choose him out. And I like the way Saul responded. It was like, you know, how in the world could I be used? I'm the least of the families. But it didn't last long. What I'm saying to you is simply this. In his humility did not last long. After he got in position, it wasn't long he became a whole different individual. And I want to just share a truth with you. Position or authority or whatever it might be shows forth what we was before we got it will come out after we get it. Now, I may have not said that very good, but the humbleness here that began sounded good, but it wasn't long. Saul became a very proud man. Well, that pride was there before he was ever appointed king. What position and power does is reveal what was there already. It was already there. We want to blame certain things a lot of times on the reason we sinned or the reason we did this, the reason we did that. No, that was already there. It just, circumstances just brought it out and revealed it. We had to be very, very careful that what we need to do is build our character, build a good character in our life so that no matter what situation, no matter what position of life that God gives us, that character will come out and we'll be able to follow through with a good character, you see. But this is what happened to him. Now, let me also say on the other side, there's a lot of good people in America, a lot of wonderful people in God's work. That position didn't change them a bit because it's what they were. And position will not change them if that's what they were. If that's what they were inside, position won't change them. And we have a lot of great people across America that loves the Lord and walks with God and position. And let me say, even in politics, and that would be a difficult place, but we've got some great men in politics that position did not change them. Because that's what they were. I'm going to go back for Chuck here, North Carolina. I'm really sorry to see Jesse Helms retiring. I really am sorry to see that, because he's been a man who's, I mean, he can't help it, his health-wise, I'm sure he has to, but he's been a man who's stood for right down through the years no matter what. Now, he's just stood for right, and we need men like him. And he's, as far as I'm concerned, been a great person up there in Washington. He's not perfect, he's like everybody else, but he's been a great man to help us as a country. And I'm sorry that he's having to retire. So position didn't change him, because that's what he was before. And so here we find that it did Saul. He changed completely after he became king, because his true character began to reveal itself after he got into this position. Now in verse 22, he says, "And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day." Once again, there's a principle taught here. Even though Saul was not going to be what he should be, he was given the high position, brought in and honored. He was giving the best meat. It was a way of saying unto him, we are honoring you this day because you're going to be king. Now, I think that's, again, a principle for us. There is certain positions and there's certain offices in America today that we may not like the officer, but we must respect the office. You may not always like everything the President of the United States does, but we must respect the office of the Presidency of the United States of America. And I think the same thing in a governor. I think any of the appointed or elected officials that we have, we may not like them, we may not agree with them, but there's an office to be respected. And I believe that's one of the things that he's teaching here. There's an office to be respected. And I believe that's true in many areas. I think as you men work out in the workforce, you work under somebody, there's an office of a boss that works over you, that's over you. There has to be some respect for that. I mean, I know you already know this, but there has to be respect for it, especially for the office. You may not always respect the rascal that's in that office, but you respect the office. And you have to do that because that's God appointed, you see. And that's the way it should be. So we find here there was a respect giving him. I'm sure you men that served in the military, I'm almost sure this is true, and I don't know, I didn't ask you, but if you served in the military, I am sure that there was some men who had high positions in the military that you didn't think was what they ought to be. I don't know if that's true, but I have a feeling that's probably true. But yet you respected the office, you respected the rank, because it was your duty to do that. You had to do that. And I think that was what was happening here. They was showing respect unto him. All right, in verse number 25, he said, "And then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his own house." And he says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched." And I'm in the 10th chapter instead of the 9th chapter. So I'll get there in a minute. Verse number 25. "And when they were come down from the high place unto the city, Samuel communed with Saul unto the top of the house." I don't know about you, but I'd have liked to have been there and listened in on what he said to Saul. Took him up on top of the house, seemingly alone, and commune with him, and I would have liked to have been someone just listening in and hearing what Samuel said to Saul. I don't know how long they stayed up there, I don't know all of those details, But he took him up and he began to share some things with him. And in verse number 26, he says, "And there rose early and come to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, and I may send thee away. And Saul rose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel brought. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Two things that I want to specially mention in this is he told him to, in the last of that verse, he said, stand thou still a while. Once again, I believe this is one of the principles that I believe is so needed in Christian lives today. Stand thou still a while. In other words, get alone with God and let God talk to you. Just stand still. I've got a humorous thing that happened to Don and I in our life, and I'm not going to tell you all the details, but we had we was in a bakery shop one day, and we had bought some donuts or something, and I can't remember. I walked away from the counter, and Donna was kind of with me there, and the lady kind of missed us. I was getting ready to pay, and she couldn't find us, you know, and I kind of walked away from there. We was looking around, and she said, "If you'd just stand still, I'd find you." And she laughed, and we laughed, but what was funny, God used that because there were some decisions and things that we were trying to make at that time in our life that we was questioning the fact whether God wanted us to stay here or go on, do what. And through that, it was humorous, but it was something God spoke to our hearts about and said, you know, if you just stand still a little while, he said, I could find you. Have you ever been like that? Have you ever just, maybe God said to you, if you just be still and stand still a little while, I can talk to you. And whether we understand that or not, folks, there's a great importance in being still and listening to God. We are on a what they call a rat race. You've heard them say, we're on a rat race and the rats are winning. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but that's an old saying. And let me say, there's a rat race out there. People are always so busy. Satan's good at getting all of us just caught up in a constant turmoil, constant going here and there. And we don't have time to stop and talk to God and let God speak to our hearts. And that's what one of the first things he said here to Samuel was, or to Saul he was, just stand still. I've got some things I want to tell you, so just stand still and listen. And I think that message could probably go to each and every one of us. God says, just be still and know that I am God. Say, know that I am God. Just be still. Let your mind think about me for a while instead of everything else, being caught up in everything else. And what was it he wanted to show him? In that verse of scripture, he said, but stand thou still a while that I may show thee the word of God. There was something from God that he wanted to show him, and he said, just stand still, be quiet, and let me show you something from God. And it was the word of God that he needed to know. I say to you today, that's what we need to know. I don't know your personal lives, and I don't know what you do on a day basis, and it's none of my business, really. Your relationship with God, I want it to be good, and I know that. But folks, God can't really speak to us much if we don't get in his word and let him speak to us. Now, I mean, I know the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but he speaks to us basically through the word of God. And that's what he wanted to show him. He wanted to show him the word of God. And I would say to you and to me, folks, please, please listen up. Listen to what God is speaking to us in his word. There's so many wonderful things he wants to tell us, principles he wants to teach us. And he does that through his word. That's why Satan does his best to keep you out of his word. He'll do anything he can to keep you out of his word. But even a short time in the word of God, consecrated, a short time, a period of time, reading and listening to what God is saying, he can talk to us so many, many ways and teach us some things, show us some things. Amen? So that's what he needed to hear. Now, if you, and I'm sure you believe that, but that's one of the great reasons why the curriculum in the public school, the Bible, the Word of God, has been removed from that. You see, there was my wife, even when she was in school, memorized Psalm 100. There was other scriptures that they memorized in school. If you're old enough, you remember doing some of those things. The Word of God was there. And the Word of God is what we need to be showing. And that's why Satan has worked through secular humanism and all of these other things to remove the Bible from our classrooms. Because it's powerful. It's like dynamite. And it'll do things for our life. But Satan does not want that in our lives. You see, and in our children's lives. So that's one of the things that you can look around and see is very evident. It's not in the curriculum of our public schools. You can even see this, as we talked earlier, but you can see this in the interest that people have for preaching. How successful was you and I this week to get some of those out there that need to be in the house of God, get them in the house of God? They're not basically very interested. That should not stop us from going and doing. Please, don't ever stop because you're not being successful in that way. But why? Because they're not interested in preaching. They're not interested in the Bible, the Word of God. They're just not interested in it, you see. And they need to stand still and listen to the Bible, the Word of God. They need to hear it. And also, I would say to you, even in our bookstores, you go into our Christian bookstores today, and most of the Christian books anymore that you'll see, now I realize there's some study books, but most of them are fiction books, things about psychology, things about how to be successful in this or that, all kinds of CDs that has all junky music on them. They fill our Christian bookstores today. And you see very little in there, and I know there is some, but you see very little on just good old Bible study and getting to the Bible. You find Bibles in there, but helping people to come back to the Bible. Now, I know there's some, I understand that, but there's so much of this other junk because it takes up the time of God's people, you see. And we need to hear. That's what he said to him. You need to stand still and you need to let me tell you about the Word of God. See, that's what you need is the Word of God. So again, folks, get into the Word of God. Read it. Study it. You're limited on time, but get into God's Word. Sit down and read a little bit of it and each day and learn a principle, a truth from it. Because that's what you and I need. We need that. Okay? All right. And then, of course, in chapter 10, verse number 1, we find that Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" And you notice, and again, I thought this was it's very wonderful, really. But he took some oil and anointed him. Now, if he's going to be king, if you're going to be a prophet, a priest, or king, you're going to have to be anointed. You're going to have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And the oil in the Bible, of course, speaks many times about the Holy Spirit of God. It was a type of the Holy Spirit. And so he took a vial and he poured it over him and anointed him. And let me say to you, this was done in private. Again, he took him by himself. Again, let me just kind of go over a couple of things about being called or anointed. It's very important you get an item settled in private before you ever publicly announce it. It's very, very important you get that all done between you and God. That's one of the reasons when I felt the calling of God, I did go to my, like he went to Samuel, or Samuel handled this, but I went to my pastor, Brother Evans, and sat down with him and talked with him about it. And before I ever let anybody else know about it. And I got the assurance of God concerning it before I ever announced it. That's why we've got to be so careful. And I might say, since it just happened, Brother Caleb, I believe, handled that very well, Caleb Hall. handled it very well, because he'd come to us about 2 weeks before he went to Mexico, told us, Jerry and I, told us about the decision he felt God was calling him to preach. And we sat and talked quite a while, and he said, I want to wait till after we get back from Mexico. I want to give it some time. And I said, I think that's a very wise idea. And I know his mother and dad knew it. There may be a few other, but most folk did not know that. He kept it still. And then when he came back, got back, he was down at home, and God was dealing with him. And he knelt down, I think it was by one of their old tractor or something, a yard work thing or something. Anyway, he knelt down and gave himself to the Lord and said, God, I'll do what you said. And I think it was the next week then he came forward and announced to the people. But I think that's wise. You want to get that thing settled in your heart first, privately. You want to get that settled before you ever announce it. You see, because folks, that's why we are careful of this, whether you knew it or not, but we had a meeting with the young people before they went to Mexico. And I stood and I talked to them a while, and I told them, I said, listen, in a time like that, it's so easy. You go to a place in Mexico, you see all that's going on, you see, and it becomes kind of exciting, and maybe, you know, God puts it on your heart. That's serious business. There's a need there, and that is important. There is a need there. But I told him, if he is calling you, it'll be there a month after you get back. It'll be there 2 months after you get back. It'll be there 3 months after you get back. Don't get all excited to the point where you do something rashly without giving plenty of thought to it. That's what happened here. He took him aside and he talked to him, gave him the word of God, you see. So we need to know, we need to be convinced in our heart about a calling of God before we ever announce it. And then we find out also he told him he's going to be captain over his inheritance. In verse number 1, he said, and is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? That word captain there speaks of a prince or a ruler. He would be a prince over them. He would be a ruler over them. And in fact, in this here, it's speaking more on the military. It's got a military thought to it. But he was saying to him, I'm going to put you over my inheritance. Whew. I'm going to put you over that which I have called out as a people. Boy, that's serious business. And so he said to him, I'm going to put you as the captain. In other words, you're the one who's going to be able to be the one who's going to lead. You're the one who's going to be out in front leading this people. And it's me who's given you the authority. I'm calling you. God is calling you, you see. So that becomes very, very serious, you see, because once we are called of God, placed in a position of God, we are responsible to God. You take someone who said, "Okay, I'm called of God. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a pastor. All at once we're over his inheritance." And let me say to you folks, that's serious business. We're responsible to God Almighty. You see, and we must understand that that's who we answer to. We don't answer to anybody else. We answer to God. And that's serious. And so he wanted him to understand that it was the Lord that was doing it. One other thing here before we close today, but in verse 1, you notice he says, and it is not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. And before that, it said that he kissed him. He poured the oil over and he kissed him. What I want you to notice there is this. Samuel was the one, always had been the one who was in the limelight. Samuel was the one who was the prophet of God. He was the one being used by God to lead Israel. All at once he had to switch that over. And he went up and done it in a very dignified way. He went up and he kissed him, and in doing that was saying, I honor you. I realize and understand you now are the king. And you know what? That took a lot. I've watched this, and I can share, and I know he won't mind a bit. As Brother Simpson has went down to Carlisle, and Brother Benefield has had to step aside. And Brother Benefield's come. We've talked about these things, and it's difficult because he's always kind of been in the leadership. But it takes a big man to step aside. And he is doing that. He's stepping aside. He told me, he said, I've had to go to Brother Simpson a couple times and say, hey, I'm sorry. I've been so used to being a pastor. I said this or that, and I took it back, and I want you to know that I did this. And he said, because he's always used to, had to be in the use of leadership. He leads the singing, and here's what he told me. He said, I stand over the side. I don't even stand behind the pulpit. I stand over the side because, he said, I've always stood there as a pastor, and I want him to know I'm not pastor anymore. Well, it's the right thing to do. It's proper, you see. But at the same time, don't you think it's difficult? Well, I think it's difficult. I think it's very difficult for him. But he's doing it, and he's doing it right, you see. Well, that's what Samuel did. Samuel just stepped aside and said, okay, God said you're the king, and I'm going to step aside and let you be the king. Amen? So, again, shows me a lot of character in Samuel. Hopefully you've learned some things, but I've learned a lot of things through Samuel and Samuel's life and how he behaved, what he did, and all of those things, and what a great man he was, a great prophet of God, honorable man, the Bible calls him, honorable man. And so we can learn some tremendous truths from a man like Samuel. All right. Has anybody heard from Wayne or anybody this week? As I don't know whether anybody has or not. They're not, or he's not here today. I know he has a lot of health problems. Let's pray for him. Joe out traveling.
Back in Alaska.
In Alaska. Wow. Amen. Did he fly up or didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. All right. Pray for Joe. And let's see. Bill English, I take for granted Bill's working, I think he is, and of course Jack and Carolyn Fry, please pray for them. They're doing well. Carolyn has came through that operation real well, and it was just amazing. Jack told me this morning, even the nurses are saying she's just doing better than we could ever expect her to do. And of course Jack knows, and Carolyn knows, and you know why. It's because of prayer, and we just need to continue to lift them up, because usually they tell me the first 2-3 days is very difficult, to kind of get through. They have kind of little setbacks and things, so we need to pray for them. And Mrs. Fulkerson, and is she out there? Oh, okay, thank you, Sister Cora. All right, she's here, and then take for granted Eric's probably working, and let's see, Bonnie Jeffries not here. You just handle that the way you wish there, Sister Penny. And Mrs. Lundy, let's send her a card. She enjoys getting them. Dallas and Maxine Moore, don't know where they are today. I don't know whether anybody knows or anything. Reunion. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. And, of course, Frank Mumaw. Let's continue to pray for Frank. He's having a lot of health problems. He really is, and he's have to go to Indianapolis and get tests and things, and they're waiting on some results of tests now. So let's pray for Frank and Nani Murray, and we'll just stop there. On Larry Padgett, you might just kind of wait on any of that. We're working. All right, thank you so much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.